Welcome to episode 117 of Yins Are Good, the podcast that shares and celebrates all of the good stuff that is going on out there. You know, we're celebrating all those good people who are making it happen. I am your host, Tressa Glover. How are you? Doing well, I hope. Thank you for tuning in today. We're happy to have you aboard. We are now a ship. We are welcome aboard. How fun would that be, though? Okay, I digress. Here we are. Very happy to have you here. Very happy to be sharing this episode with you. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with two incredible ladies who are affiliated with Young Adult Survivors United, or YASU for short. YASU, if you're not familiar, is a nonprofit that helps young adult cancer survivors and caregivers cope and thrive by providing emotional, social, and financial support. YASU is a community. YASU is a family. And you're going to hear my chat with YASU founder and executive director and a YASU member, both cancer survivors, both helping and inspiring so many people. I cannot wait for you to hear our conversation. We talked about a bunch of different things, and both Stephanie and Tara were so open and honest. What generous souls they are. And the help that YASU provides is just outstanding. We had a great time. And okay, you know how I always remind Yins to email us here to share your stories or to suggest a guest for the show? Well, that's what happened here on both counts, actually. I received this email from Tara. My name is Tara Smith. I'm a stage 1B skin cancer survivor. I was diagnosed at age 31 during the pandemic, never used a tanning bed a day in my life. After all the testing I've done after my diagnosis, nothing genetically should have ever determined me to be diagnosed with melanoma. This diagnosis happened at the height of the pandemic, after years of my dermatologist saying it's just cosmetic, it doesn't need to be removed. A second opinion literally saved my life. After clearing my diagnosis, I lost over 110 pounds and got in the best shape of my life. I'd love the opportunity to chat on the podcast about this topic. Melanoma is one of the most common cancers among young adult women. I'm also involved with a group called Young Adult Survivors United, which helps to support people my age through a cancer diagnosis. And I was like, yes, and yes, let's have you come on the show. And funny enough, how things work. As Tara and I were corresponding just a day or two after we had started, I received an email from Liz Fetchin, who is a friend of Yins Are Good and a recent collaborator. And she wrote to me about a cancer support organization that is the only one in the U.S. dedicated to the young adult demographic. Well, you know what's happening here. She, of course, was talking about YASU. So clearly YASU was meant to be featured on the show. And I just love it. And a reminder of our email address, by the way, should you want to reach out, it is yinsaregood@gmail.com. Also a reminder, follow us please on Instagram and Facebook. We are at yinsaregood. Also coming up today, another round of Name That Neighborhood. Don awaits his fate. Thank you for being here today. And without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. We're here. All right. So we've been talking already for many minutes. And yep. So we're just going to kind of make it official now. But can you just introduce yourselves to our listeners as we get started here?
Awesome. So hi, my name is Tara. I'm 35 and I was diagnosed with melanoma in 2020 during the height of the pandemic, and I became a YASU member in 2022.
Hmm.
And I am Stephanie Smolovich. I'm the founder and executive director of Young Adult Survivors United, and I'm also coming up on my 19th cancer anniversary of having leukemia.
So, okay, well, let's start. I mean, it's connected right to that. Stephanie, when and why and how did YASU come to be? Why did you found it and what were the circumstances?
In 2005, I was diagnosed with leukemia, completely blindsided. This was a couple weeks before my junior year in college. And if you can imagine back in 2005 and remember that Facebook was just starting out for college students, there was no Instagram, there was no Twitter, and there were no resources for young adults with cancer. I was people's grandchild in the adult cancer center, and no one looked like me. Yeah. No one could relate to what I was going through. My family was very supportive. My friends were there for me, but it was just a level of misunderstanding. And I quickly realized that there was a huge gap for supporting people my age. And so, you know, too old to go to St. Jude Hospital. Everything else was pediatric or older adult when it came to resources. And so I was pretty much an open book from the time I was diagnosed to the point of I was in school to be a pharmacist. And after taking a year off, I had intensive chemotherapy. I had brain radiation, spinal taps where they injected chemo, the whole gamut. And I came back to school and I had all the required prerequisites for pharmacy school. We're talking organic chemistry and calculus and physics, and I was failing. And my passion just was not there anymore. And so I did some soul searching that year and realized that I wanted to become a social worker. I didn't know to the extent of how I wanted to give back. I just knew I had to give back. I had this new purpose in me, a new flame, if you will. Hmm. And so fast forward to 2012, I started running young adult cancer support groups here in Pittsburgh. Once a month, in person. It was very small. We'd have three people, we'd have five people, we had no people sometimes. But over time, over the years, it just kept growing. And I started realizing that we were building a community here. And from the support group discussions, I realized that they needed more than just sitting around talking about cancer. They also needed to live life again. You think people in their 20s and 30s are watching their peers graduate college and have families and get married and travel the world, and all while sitting in a treatment chair getting chemo. And so I started independently fundraising and hosting in person, of course, because virtual wasn't even a thing then. Right. So it's funny that I have to think about that. I started hosting social outings for them to have fun and do something, get them out of the house, put them in a fun environment, uplifting place where I was kayaking on the rivers. I took them axe throwing once, bowling nights, game nights, cooking classes, potluck Thanksgiving dinners, you name it, we did it. And so comedy nights was a fun one too. And that's where I really saw friendships building. And I saw them feeling like themselves again and feeling quote unquote normal. You know, we'll always put that in quotes. And I also recognized the need for financial assistance. Financial toxicity is among the biggest challenges of this population. So that's how I built the model, emotional, social, financial support. So in 2019, I was currently at that time working for another local charity that has since dissolved and merged with another local charity. But at the time, I realized I reached capacity with what I was able to do as far as offering support for this population. But over the years, my passion just kept growing. And so I took the bull by the horns, and on March 1st, 2020, I went public and launched Young Adult Survivors United, only quickly afterwards to realize that I had to build a whole entire virtual platform. If you had asked me before then if a virtual support group was impactful, I would have said no, because you can't walk across the room and hug someone. You can't wipe someone's tears or hand them a box of Kleenex. So it was a shock to me, but we survived it. It was just myself. I handpicked a board of directors, and we kept the model all this time. And so to see how far we've come in just the past 4 years, one being a pandemic, has been astounding. I pinch myself sometimes just reflecting on the past year. So we're growing so much, and our outreach has gone across the U.S. because of the virtual platform opportunities. And we continue to support those who were with us back in 2013 and 14. And we continue to have new members registering every single week. And so Tara can share her story, but it's been such a blessing that through social media, first and foremost, and building relationships with cancer centers, how others continue to find out about us.
Wow, there are so many points in there, Stephanie, as you were talking. And I'm just thinking too now, like the word tenacity. Thinking of it as, here you are, this one person,
And we talk about that on the show from time to time because it obviously can be so overwhelming. If someone says, oh, here's the thing I would like to do, but where does someone even start? Mm-hmm. What advice or what would you say to folks who are thinking that way, who think, oh my gosh, but how does one person, and you especially being a young person when you were doing it, you know, when you just started, did you just start reaching out to people you knew, people in the community? Like,
I think working for a nonprofit helped, but never, it doesn't compare to being in the position that I'm in today as the founder and executive director. I never wore this hat. But I think deep inside, you have to first decide, is this truly something I want to do? Mm-hmm. Maybe you try it and it quote unquote fails, but at least you tried. I think the first step into it is we only have one life. So worst case scenario, you go for it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work out. Okay, but at least you tried, you know, so chase your dreams. Mm-hmm. Life is way too short. And we know first and foremost how true that is. Secondly, do your research. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. I literally was on a virtual meeting this morning with one of our members who wants to build an in-person young adult community in Erie. And I said to him, this won't happen overnight, and that's okay. Mm. So often we are so rushed to have things implemented and have it built, you know, in a day. And, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. That's what I keep saying to myself even, because sometimes when you do these things, you can feel like a failure and you want to give up. And for years, I was terrified to start a nonprofit. It was always in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. I was completely terrified until you realize that the difference that it could make, and now it is making, and in addition, what it will do in the future. You know, you have these visions. And so for anyone out there, I would say go for the gold. What do you have to lose? Maybe time, but still it's such a moment of pride to say that you actually went for it, whether you make it or not. I'm still learning every single day, and I've been doing this now for 4 years, and I'm still learning how to run an organization successfully and how to build a team on staff and how to continue evolving with programming, because as you know, we go from everything is in person, then everything is virtual, and now we are technically a hybrid model. So what does that look like? So give ourselves some grace. And don't be afraid to jump for the opportunities that are out there that you may not even know about. And Tara can even share with her stories what she has done since being a melanoma survivor. I mean, it's incredible, even on my end, to see them thrive and see them try different things. And maybe they'll fall, but then they can come back to the community and get the support that they need and pick themselves back up.
And I was going to say, please, Tara, yes, because we want to hear your story and what you're doing. Sure. And I was going to say that, Stephanie, also because that you're learning the whole time, even in those quote unquote failures or, you know, when they didn't go the way you thought they'd go.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. Like you learn as you go. And this is all learning experience, and you will fall at times. There have been times when I had meltdowns because I'm like, I can't do this. I'm not efficient enough. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not good enough. I'm this and that. But I align myself with mentors as well. The people that have done it and done it well and know that you are not above them. You're only learning. So if you can put yourself in those shoes and be humble about it, I think it makes a world of a difference going into it, knowing this will be hard, but I'm going to learn and align yourself with those who, like I said, are successful. You know, you can always learn from other people. Yeah. It sounds so cliche, but let's face it, the only constant in life is change, right? So I'll always come back to that. Once you get comfortable, that's when it's not good.
All right.
I'm supposed to top that.
I know. I mean, oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
So, Tara.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us your story.
Sure. So I guess I'll kind of start off by talking about how I ended up getting diagnosed, which kind of leads into, because I wasn't even involved with YASU until after my diagnosis was basically clear. And so I was diagnosed with melanoma in situ, which is which was non-staged, so caught very early. But the thing was, I had gone to a dermatologist, my dermatologist, I had a mole on my back. He kept ignoring it. He kept blowing it off, saying it was just cosmetic, didn't need to be removed, your insurance wouldn't cover it. And so I got very frustrated. I was hearing this for about 2 years, and I had a ton of, like, pretty prominent moles on me and was getting very frustrated. So a friend of mine had told me about my – I go to cannabis with family practice through Washington Health System, which is where I'm from, down in Washington County. They had a skin clinic. So I got referred into that, and this was probably – it was right when the pandemic was getting really bad in the U.S., so it was spring of 2020. They did a shave biopsy, and everything was fine. I had noticed pigment about a month later coming back. And that's when I went back, and I'm like, what's up with this? I don't remember what the what you guys said. And he said sometimes they don't get deep enough in the shave biopsy, so we'll go ahead and re-biopsy it and make sure that it's clear. So the end of June of 2020, I got a call from the PCP's office as I was actually sitting at the salon one night. It was like 5:30, so it was kind of almost after hours. And said I had melanoma, and I remember just my emotions being all over the place at that point, because I was 31, never used a tanning bed a day in my life, kept getting ignored by my dermatologist, and getting, was very overwhelmed and feeling about what just happened, and being scared that I would have to go through chemo and radiation, not really understanding the treatment for melanoma. And so then they went back to my dermatologist. They confirmed it was melanoma. And so I had a wide excision in July of 2020. And at the time, too, I was also moving out of my abuser's home for the first time. My dad abused me when I was like 6 years old. And so having to go through all of it at the same time, I actually had to push back my moving date because I had stitches in my back and was obviously hurting. And so it was a lot to handle at one time. So. But by the time I had the excision done, it went from a 0.35 to a 0.85 millimeter cancer. So it was aggressive in under 2 months. I was almost at a stage two.
Wow. In that short of a period.
And so because of the aggressive nature of that melanoma, they had me see an oncologist to have a lymph node biopsy to make sure that there was no spread. Unfortunately, at the time I was working retail. I have a nonprofit background as well, and I was working retail just to, you know, make ends meet. And I unfortunately had gotten fired because I was there for less than a year, hadn't gotten benefits yet, and really, it's been a struggle to get back into full-time employment. I'm working two part-time jobs right now, but also into kind of a new career path. So it kind of leads me to how I found out about Yasu, actually.
And also, let's add to 2020, what's happening in the world in 2020.
Yeah, it's very isolating.
So those are all, I was going to say those three. I mean, let's talk about those three.
Sure.
Huge. So how are you now?
Oh, as far as melanoma goes, everything's clear.
Okay.
I'm 3 years clear. I see my dermatologist every, kind of transitioning from every 3 to 6 months. I actually see him next week, so. Yeah, and then I just saw my oncologist. Everything has been good since.
And how are you with, you said you were in the process of moving out. How are you? We don't have to talk too much about it.
I'm an open book.
Are you okay?
Yes.
So, and you're.
I mean, you know, relationships are challenging, and I'm still working. I'm working with a better therapist now, and I'm doing EMDR, which is a type of modality in therapy that helps to reprocess trauma. It's helped me a lot to try to just understand my past and figuring out how to move forward and enhance what's left of the relationship and then future relationships too.
I would say a role model for folks in a few different ways.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Having just, you know, meeting you in person for the first time, although we emailed a few times, but I'm just, I mean, I feel like it's safe to say that.
I appreciate that.
And
thank
your strength
you.
And your absolute, thank you. I mean, and so now here you have hooked up with.
Yes. Yasu.
And, oh, wait, if I may say this.
Yes.
You already are a testament to, you know yourself.
Yes.
That's right. Something I think that we all, and if I can say, especially as women, that idea of we know ourselves, right, better than, and that if you know something's wrong, if something doesn't feel right, if you know, then you keep going and you keep, you know, trying to get that answer like, oh, but I know something isn't right.
Yep.
And that's what you did.
Yeah.
Self-advocacy is bigger.
Huge in
than
the
ever. It has to be, unfortunately, with our healthcare system, and that's a whole other podcast topic. But you have to advocate. If you, like you said, you know your body. So if someone's telling you something that you don't agree with, either keep pushing, get a second opinion.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, I mean, our members alone are getting second opinions. It's almost like...
A necessity?
Yeah, it's just like the norm now.
Yeah.
Just to get a comparison and make sure that you are indeed in good hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say also to include into that is like, depending on obviously the health system and what's available, I'm looking into clinics within your own primary care physician's office, because I had no idea that like my PCP's office had a SCID clinic until my friend had said she happened to hear about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. So as, and again, sitting in this, I love this space.
Thank you.
So what if folks are thinking, okay, in addition to what you've already shared with us about Yes You, what programs, like specifically what do you offer? How are you involved with the community? Because you also are involved with more than just the survivors themselves, right? It branches out to the people in their lives and the people who are helping them. So tell us about that.
Well, like I said, everything falls under the three pillars of emotional, social, and financial support. So we will always have a virtual platform in the sense that we have weekly virtual support groups. We have monthly virtual socials. So every other month, we have a virtual paint night. We ship all the supplies to the participants.
Yep.
They love hot tea tasting. So we send tea packets to hot cocoa tastings. And we've had a virtual had a virtual bingo night. So every month.
I love all of these things. Sorry, go ahead.
And they have fun. And they still talk about life. So every month, we have a virtual social. And we have a monthly self-love workshop, and Taylor Pinkston, I don't know if you know her, she's the heart advocate.
She's been on the show.
Sure you know her.
We love Taylor.
Taylor hosts our self-love workshop, and she's just phenomenal. Every month it's a different theme, and you know, she just makes you feel like a million bucks.
Doesn't she? I have chills right now when you said that. I remember that after the first time talking with her.
Love her. Yes.
It's like she is the heart advocate.
Yes. So she runs a monthly group for us. And then we incorporate in-person programs. Thanks to the Pittsburgh Foundation, we partner with a private practice called Calm Pittsburgh.
I was supposed to say Dana.
Dana Kirkpatrick is the owner. She is a young adult breast cancer survivor. She's the owner of the private practice. She's certified in sex therapy.
Yeah.
So she makes it not awkward at all to talk about it.
Yeah.
And her mom was a breast cancer survivor, unfortunately passed. So she just has a lot of boxes that she has checked, and she's wonderful. She's a support group facilitator for us. But we partner with them for our local members to get free counseling up to 12 sessions, virtual or in person. Dana has two locations, so it makes it very convenient for our members to either decide and, you know, pick a diverse. They have such a diverse staff. It's just a great partnership. Navigating and finding a therapist alone is stressful, overwhelming, maybe not affordable for a lot of them. So that's a great program. Just last month, I started leading, again, in-person support groups for our members. So we meet here in our Wexford office. That feels good for me because that's how we build the community. So last month as well, we launched Distribution Day. So once a month on the last Saturday of the month, our members can come and pick up two reusable bags full of household items and toiletries. Because our financial assistance program for the past 3 years has been offering $500 grants to help pay for medical bills, rent, mortgage, utilities, or in the form of basic needs. We're talking grocery and gas gift cards, and over 50% every single year needs help making ends meet. So I said to my board of directors and my staff, I think we need a distribution day. So we have thankfully been gifted with so many donations and products. We have an Amazon wish list. People are going on there. We're getting shipments almost weekly with Amazon boxes full of items so that we can continue to provide it for our members. I mean, it helps offset the costs, you know, of daily living and help put food on the table for their families.
What was really cool was whenever I had first became a member of YASU, I actually used the financial assistance as part of the first program, but then I had transitioned into, I was moving out of my first apartment into my second apartment into like a better, safer neighborhood as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, what the financial assistance grant did was help me pay for my last rent payment for my old apartment, so I was able to put the rest of the money I had into my new apartment.
I mean, we've literally prevented water from being shut off, lights, keeping their lights on. I've had a call with electricity. They lost their electricity and all the food in their fridge, you know, and at the time, like, we didn't have a crisis. you know, amount. If they got a grant already, we had to find other resources for them. And now we have this reserve that we can help them with. So it's just been amazing.
It's life changing. It's life changing.
Yeah.
We're talking about essentials. When you're talking about, you know, there's so basic many news. Things you have to think about. Yeah. The basic necessities.
And thankfully, two treatment nurses from a local cancer center reached out to me and they said, our staff is stressed because these young adults don't have the means to put fuel in their tanks to get to treatment and doctor's appointments. So they're just not showing up. So we've been hosting a campaign called the Pittsburgh Oncology Patient Aid Campaign. And we've raised about over $10,000 in the past few months. And it's all for the financial assistance program. So now this year, because of that, grants are up to $600. So yeah, hopefully really cool. with awareness and continuing to partner with communities and corporations, anyone out there, these treatment centers, you know, the staff's all behind it now. We're selling T-shirts that say Pittsburgh Together Against Cancer. If you donate a certain amount, they're being sold at Hillman Cancer Center now, at Shadyside Hospital now. So word just continues to get out once people learn of the impact and why this population needs different support than kids, teens, and older adults. Yep. I lost a dear friend in 2021 from breast cancer. She fought for 10 months and we lost her, and her family said that they wanted to honor her. And so we now have a Ray of Hope program. It's RAE because her name is Raylene. Mm. So since then, we've been providing free day long or overnight respite trips. Yeah. And it's fully funded, and we are sending a lot of people to spas, sporting events, concerts, really anything that they want. We just can't book a flight or send a tangible item. Other than that, my staff has become travel agents, and we joke about that all the time because they're coordinating these trips, and it's life-changing for them, and they're creating such beautiful memories that otherwise they probably can't afford to do those things, to just relax and recharge, and take a break.
Yeah, and you said this way, and when you were first speaking about just doing activities you know, getting together as a group, but that has nothing to do with cancer.
Yep. But there's
and
that
the way,
bond.
Just when you said it, and then you're saying it again, it's like, yes, going and doing things, especially to your point of that, to the age group. Yeah. At a time when, especially at that age, when that's what people are doing.
Yeah.
So I would think that that ability and having that opportunity to, like, yeah, I'm going to a concert. I'm going to a spa, or like you're saying, the kind of like axe throwing and things that are, yes, you all met in this way because of this thing. But what you're doing has nothing to do with
it. Doesn't have to
define
them.
You're seeing people.
Yeah. I also want to add to that, too, because so for me as a melanoma survivor, right? So and not like all cancer is awful, like, let's be real here. But there's not a lot of there's not support programming for melanoma survivors that I'm aware of in the Pittsburgh area, at least. Mm-hmm. And so for me to have this community of young adults that, even though they haven't gone through melanoma, like, it's still a support community that with people my age that have been through that a similar diagnosis. And so we can always bounce, if something does happen, we can always bounce ideas off of each other and just be there for one another. So it's still really important,
too. I mean,
we
talk about everything from having the kids to getting back into the dating world. She may be a melanoma survivor sitting next to a breast cancer survivor, and they're like, how the hell do we disclose our diagnosis in a date, like a new date?
Right.
You know, are the topics that come up.
Yeah.
And they can relate to one another. It's amazing to see from my end.
And what are the specific ages? I know you said 20s, 30s, but like, what are we talking when we talk about young
adults? We've always defined young adults as being diagnosed between ages 18 and 39, but because of the world evolving and people are now having kids at later ages, and it broke my heart to see all of the AYA, adolescent and young adult organizations across the U.S. have a hard cutoff at 39. I wish I kept track of how many people ask if they're going to get kicked out because their 40th birthday is coming up. I'm like, no, stay put if you need the support. But truly, we now say 18 to 45 of diagnosis, because 40-year-olds are the new 30-year-olds in this world today. Yeah. So
it's true. It
definitely. Like, I'm 35, and I feel my age, like,
it's just such a big gap, you know, again.
Yeah.
So we welcome up to 45 diagnosed.
Okay. Is there have been so many, I know, but are there certain...
We didn't talk about the marathon yet, either.
Oh, my gosh. But I want to, as far as events, activities that you've done, are there some that are your favorites?
Well, events, and then you could chime in. But yeah. So yeah. Our major events, we are a charity, the Pittsburgh Marathon, which I'll let Tara talk about next, where people will run fundraising for us, and we champion them. We have an annual golf outing every July. So far, knock on wood, it has sold out every year.
Last year, landed on my third cancer anniversary.
And then we host a young adult cancer camp, which is a 4-day, 3-night retreat at the YMCA Camp Conaquay Spencer. In partnership with another organization called Elephants and Tea based out of Cleveland. And it is a retreat. Oh. It is respite opportunities. It's amazing. My personal favorite is a wig out, where the past 2 years we've sold out with 600 guests at the Rivers Casino up in the ballroom, and everyone wears a Halloween wig. What I love is this event is celebrating survivorships, and it's honoring people that we have lost. But truly, it's a night for cancer survivors to put a wig on, dance the night away, and you cannot identify a cancer patient because everyone's wearing a Halloween wig. I have asked them, like, do you want to wear buttons or tags? Yeah. Do you want to? We put them on stage. I will say that. We always have a dedication for them. And everybody claps for them, and we dedicate the night for them. But it is a high energy, a Halloween party, and it's very unique. We have vendors there, we have an auction, we have food. It's pretty cost effective. We partner with Star Pittsburgh. Kelly and Alyssa, the radio personalities, MC it. And we have a DJ. Everybody dance the night away. It is truly remarkable to see all the supporters there for the people up on stage that night.
Yeah. We have a lot of out-of-towners, too. When I say that, like, members that will come.
Yeah, we now have people flying in for it. It's incredible.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. We'll have to get you there.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes.
Friday, October 25th. And we're moving into the event center at the casino, which is the biggest venue. So our goal this year is to have 700 to 750 attendees. So
let's do it.
Yes.
You know,
we're
let's
ready.
Do it.
And a bigger stage, and it's one big room. It's going to be amazing.
Is it Cody? The panic?
We'll talk.
Okay.
I'm not giving away secrets yet.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's okay. We can cut that part out. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Because we're not that.
Oh. See, we're learning. I love it.
Yes.
Okay. October 25th, you said.
Yeah. Friday, October 25th.
Okay.
But Tara, you learn about us because of us promoting the Pittsburgh Marathon.
Yeah. Sure. Tell us.
So, I'm going to backtrack the story a little bit, but as an adult, my weight's always kind of fluctuated, and one of my goals in life had always been to run a half marathon. And so, after the pandemic was starting to open the gyms and open things up again, I ended up losing over 110 pounds over the course of a year. I was 236 pounds, believe it or not.
Congratulations. Right?
Thank you.
You should see the before photos.
Wow.
I recognize it afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You won't believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And so...
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I actually found out about... I was getting ready to do the Trista training, and I was registering. And I had found out about YASU through the Run for a Reason program, which is a charity part of the organization that helps... Like, so me as a runner, as a racer, I can help fundraise for YASU. And so, you know, Pittsburgh Marathon is huge in Pittsburgh. They have different races, full, half, relay, 5K. And so depending on what race you do, you have to raise a certain amount of money in order to get your registration fee back. And so I'm like looking at these organizations, and I wasn't really feeling a whole really connected with anything until I seen YASU. And so I looked up the organization, and I'm like, this is 100% meant to be. It was so like full circle moment. I remember reading her story about being cancer and starting this organization, and was really just enthralled by her story, and I'm like, if she can beat cancer and run these races, like, I got this so hard. So I've done it for 2 years. The first year in my half marathon, I ran it in 2:08, which for a first time half marathon
is amazing.
Actually really good.
Yes.
And this year I actually beat my time. I just over two hours.
Come on.
I was trying to be under two. I was so mad.
Wow.
And then fall of last year, I ended up running in my first full marathon as well.
But you don't understand. She will find ways to host her own fundraising events Where was it?
Toscana. First one was at the Parlay Lounge over in the Meadowlands. Toscana Brookhaven
in South Point.
Yeah.
I show up. She has a whole entire wall of auction items, like 30 plus.
I have 40 baskets.
Yeah.
Together.
And I we did nothing. We just support her. We're like, we'll show up. I was not expecting that, truly. She does it all on her own.
I have a really good niche. Like I said, I have a nonprofit background as well, so... I have a good niche for being able to solicit donations through your passion. Like, just kind of how I emailed you initially, honestly.
You did.
It clearly worked, right? So.
Wait a minute. And you were saying before, so you have part-time jobs and you're getting a career. I'm just saying, if anyone is listening, that sounds like a job.
Please hire me.
Oh, my gosh. Someone hired to do. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because it is. That's a gift.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do.
No, it's not.
You're out of control. I love it. And I wanted to say to your point about Stephanie's story inspiring you.
Yes.
And I got, Stephanie, I have to say this idea, and listeners, it's a theme that has come up before in this show where a person goes through a situation that is traumatic, whatever word you want to put on it, right? And gets through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then decides, you know what, I'm going to see how I can help others who I know are going through it. I went through it, and I know there are so many other people, and how can I help others?
Yep.
And I just want to thank you, because I'm telling you, you already know this, it's not easy. And it's enough to just get through it for you.
Oh, yeah.
And for, you know, those around, that's enough. But to now your life's mission and your life's work being to help all of these other people is so special. And so thank you for that. And how are you feeling?
I'm a very humble person.
I can tell. Listeners, if you could see, I can tell, because it's almost like she's shaking her head. Like, it's, but
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
You must accept it, because I've said it, and Tara has said it. But how are you?
I've gone through a lot of transitions, if I'm going to be 100% transparent, which I always will be.
Yeah.
I had an identity crisis 3 years after my diagnosis. I had a new social work hat on. I had a survivor hat on. I'm like, okay, which one do I wear and when? So I had to do a lot of soul searching and digging over the years. And it's been, let's face it, 18 years of this.
Mm.
I'm like a human again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but the past 4 years of really going for it.
Mm-hmm.
I would work 12-hour days, and I didn't stop because of the passion, the drive, and the need. So I launched Yes You in 2020. The following year, I filed for divorce. So that's a whole other story.
Oh my,
But I say that because that was hard, and I'm still building the organization. So I've definitely had my trials and tribulations, and I've had my milestones. And through all of it, I'm at a point now where I know who I am, and I'm doing what I love. And because of my role with this organization and all that I've personally been through, I am one that will preach happiness is priority. What does that look like, and how do you find that?
Mm-hmm.
And fall in love with yourself first. And that's what I've done. And through all of that, I have done that. I go on trips by myself, and people, like, especially my family, were like, are you lonely? Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. But that's how I find myself. And space that is quiet and time alone is so therapeutic, and all teaching moments. And so I'm blessed. I'm moving into a condo next month that I'm buying. It's mine. I just bought a car recently. It was a used car, but I did it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yes. I'm doing things for me. Some things are very hard. You know, we lose members. You lose friendships over the years. You lose family members. And I lost a marriage. And some could say it's a loss, but there's also a gain through all of it. I lost my hair twice. You know, I'm seeing a dermatologist soon because my hair is thinning again. And that's okay. You know, so have your moments. Feel your feels is what we say in our group, but don't let it be forever, you know? So I just think something will change again in my future, and I will deal with it, and I will learn, and we'll grow some way or another. So I'm in a very good place now, and it has not been easy, but it has been so worth it. I wouldn't change anything for where I am right now. Truly. I remember being on a stage at one of the wig outs, and this was before, because we would host the wig out before even Yes You, as an attempt to raise money for the financial assistance and socials. And I remember on stage saying, like, social workers don't make money. We don't, our salary sucks. And for whatever reason, that's just what society has decided. I still wouldn't change it for anything, you know, because of the rewards that you see in life and that you get. I'm unique. I know that there are people out there that want to just put cancer in the back of, you know, in the past and move on. And that's okay. Mm. It's not for everyone. But if you have the gift, take it and run. That's what I did. I'm going to write a book one day.
I mean, seriously, one day, when I have time. The inspiration here, I mean, what I am getting from you from sitting across this table from you, those words are everything that you have done and how and what you're saying. And it's so powerful. And I thank you for it. So
I think I just have to say this, too, because it just hit me that mental health is still such a stigma and a weakness. And I'm so tired of people. I know they need, for example, a counselor, they need a therapist, or they need to be on medication, even if it's temporary. I'm mm-hmm. not pushing medications, but don't deny that need. Mm. I've had many therapists over the years, and all they do is help. So anyone out there knowing that they need support, just try it. You'll be amazed on how much you grow and learn, right? Mm-hmm. And benefit from it. That's why they exist.
Yes, and don't you think there's a benefit to talking to somebody who is a new person in your
life. Yes, third party.
They're not connected
yes.
to you. Yes. They don't know anything.
They're not going
to
judge you.
And you get to go in. And their job mm-hmm. is literally to listen and to help.
Yes.
So for those folks, because I know there are a lot of folks who, you know, feel like a burden or feel like, no, my yep. problem, and I don't really, what I'm feeling is just normal and blah, 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 blah. I don't want to be a burden. Go to a person who literally, it is their job to help you and to listen.
Yeah.
And you deserve that.
We all do. It's,
you deserve yeah. it.
We're so afraid sometimes to bring things to the surface.
Yeah.
But it's going to come out mm-hmm. one way or another.
EMDR has been so intense some days.
Yeah.
But it has helped me to stay present in my body, feel a lot calmer overall, and helped me reprocess what I've been through to mm-hmm. continue to try to move forward. The one thing cancer has done is made me really prioritize my health, not just physically, but mm-hmm. also mentally. Mm-hmm. It's why I'm back in school for health and wellness coaching, so I can help others do the same.
Yes. And I also wanted to thank you, too, for your transparency. Because I do think, you know, when you hear, yes, the tribulations on top of mm-hmm. the, I guess we could say, obvious one, mm-hmm. that, yeah. you know, besides the cancer, right, mm-hmm. that you are still a full person living a full life mm-hmm. with the tribulations and trials that come with that.
Well, a lot of times, and you know, social media is a whole other conversation, but a lot of times yeah. people only see the good on social media or the celebrations on social media, mm-hmm. the happiness, the positivity. And there's boundaries. There's a time and place for everything. I'm not one to put all of my personal life on social media because truthfully, you don't have to, but I will be transparent so people know, like, it's not all sunshine and roses.
Yes. It can't be. And that's why even with this show, with, okay, yins are good, and we're talking about people doing good, but at least what I'm trying, you know, what I do, is it's the whole story.
Yeah.
As opposed to bringing you on, like, okay, let's just talk about the helping part. Done.
Exactly.
Right? Like, no. It's full story. It's what are we all going through, and how can we help each other get through different things, or how can we be inspired to help people who, right? It's like that full, the fullness of it, mm-hmm. living, you know, mm-hmm. all of it.
Always kind of lives off of this, and I don't have the exact phrase in my head, but the connections we make as community members, professionals, members of an organization, what can we do to support and help each other to help the common good? Mm.
And speaking, okay, oh my gosh, what a perfect segue. I'll hire you for segues.
There's always a segue.
Okay, so all of these things. So if listeners are saying, how do I help? Where do I go? So we can get a little specific now.
It's so interesting. Now that we have an office space, there's so many more opportunities to volunteer, especially for our distribution days. We need help inventorying and assembling bags and distributing the bags. We all volunteer for the Pittsburgh Marathon at the Expo each year. So you can join us and volunteer at all of our events.
Okay.
They're so fun. People can attend our events. People can share our story, you know, take our link, our website link, and just put it out there on your social media pages or send it to your networks and just say, hey, I learned of this organization in case you or somebody you know can benefit, because still to this day, we are educating. Young adult does not equal youth. I wish that more people would just, and it doesn't cost you anything, just to share it and help us raise awareness. That's a first and foremost, just start. They can join our monthly e-newsletters and get updates on what we're doing, what events are coming up, what programs are new. Obviously, if they want to create a monthly donation campaign, they can do that by signing up on our website. They can join our Pittsburgh Oncology Patient Aid campaign and get a t-shirt, the black and gold t-shirt.
Yes.
So our website really tells a lot on how you can get involved. There's literally a Get Involved tab where we have a volunteer form people can fill out once, and then we will send them an email if there's opportunities and when they're coming up. What am I missing?
Amazon wish list.
Amazon wish list. We have a link for that. A lot of times when you're newly diagnosed, I understand you're overwhelmed. You have to just get your feet on the ground and figure out what life's going to be step by step, day by day. But we're here and we're not going anywhere, and we're only going to grow.
Oh, I thank you so much. I've so enjoyed just talking with
Likewise.
Both of you. And
you
just, this is so wonderful. I just thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
October 25th.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Get your Halloween wigs.
Woo!
Thank you. Don.
Hey, Tressa.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, you sound good, even though you know it's a Name That Neighborhood episode.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, in case Ian's missed it, this is a Name That Neighborhood episode.
But you know what? It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
I feel really good about it for you.
You know what? I do too.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean,
you sound so positive that I cannot help but match your energy. So
that's what we're going for here. That's
Heck yeah.
Oh.
I'm like, let's roll. Let's do this.
Yes.
Let's name neighborhoods.
Let's name them. And Don, there are only three statements of fact.
Oh, you do like me.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So I appreciate you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Welcome.
Would you like to hear your neighborhoods of choice?
I believe I don't have a choice.
Oh, right. Sorry. Wouldn't that be it?
Ooh.
What if you just... Oh.
No, listeners, okay. Do not encourage this. No, I like the choices.
Okay, good. Very good. Your choices. Wexford.
Okay.
Or Cannonsburg.
All right.
Both of which have been on before.
Sure.
Making my job far more difficult. I think they've both been on a couple times, actually.
And complete opposite directions.
Yes.
Yes.
Would you like a half a point for that?
No.
Okay. Mm. I was serious.
No, I mean, I will take... Oh. Oh, I didn't know that was a serious offer. No. No, no. I want to do this outright.
Okay.
Win or lose.
I think we all respect that, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you ready then?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Number one, the Black Horse Tavern once stood in this neighborhood and became famous for being the meeting place of the whiskey insurrectionists during the Whiskey Rebellion.
We're going to go with Cannonsburg.
And Cannonsburg you shall.
Oh, yes. Because I figure there are cannons involved during a rebellion, most likely. Or a circus.
I may have to take a half point away.
Oh,
you should have just stayed with it. You got it right, yeah. And we didn't need to know.
No explanation.
No.
No. I overshot.
You did. Well, I'll share a little more. The Black Horse Tavern was opened in 1794 by Henry Westby, who remained proprietor until 1814, which is when his son took over. And this was Canonsburg's most notable tavern during the town's earliest days. Whiskey Rebellion-wise, I'll tell you just a little something. We've talked about it before here.
Yeah.
So there was part of the Whiskey Rebellion was when leaders of the rebellion part seized federal mail as it was being carried from Philadelphia and Harrisburg, making its way to western Pennsylvania. And as it said, they waylaid the mail carrier about 22 miles east of Pittsburgh, stole all the mail, and took it back to the Black Horse Tavern. And that's where they opened it and read it.
And in
that mail were letters from Major General Daniel Morgan, Tax Inspector General John Neville, and the governor of Pennsylvania. And these letters laid out the strategies and the military implications. They got all the information.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
From Pony Express to Black Horse. Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
I don't even know if that was still a Pony Express.
I don't know, but there are cannons involved in a rebellion. Oh, yes.
Also for human cannonballs. They are also involved for human cannonballs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll just keep moving. I'm just going to go on to number two.
Yeah.
I think is the best way.
Oh, yeah.
For everyone. Situated in this neighborhood between Windwood Park and T-Bone's Marketplace is Poppin's Playhouse, a hands-on children's museum complete with interactive educational experiences.
We're going to jump out to Wexford on this one. Or no, I should have said we're going to Poppins out to Wexford for this one.
Yes! Well
Yay.
Done. How fun is it to say Poppins Playhouse?
It's very fun.
Right?
Yes.
So this, it's an 8,000 square foot play space. That's big.
That's large.
It is.
Yeah.
So here's, I wasn't familiar with it. Okay. And so here's a little bit about it. So the owner and the founder is Jenny Okladzewski. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay.
And here's what she writes on the website to give you an idea of how it came to be. She says, when I was 17 years old and a senior in high school, I took a humanities elective where the year-long project was to design your dream. My dream was to open a hands-on children's museum with interactive educational experiences. Over the last 30 years, I have worked on parts of that dream. I have degrees in philosophy and speech pathology. I've been a licensed teacher, an advocate for special education, a liaison, a mentor, and a parent. When my own kids were growing up, it was so difficult to find a place for them to be out of the house and in an environment that was fun, sensory friendly, supported their educational and developmental milestones, flexible that one child could interact with others and another child could engage in solitary play, and where I could meet other parents navigating the same milestones. This just looks like so much fun.
Yes.
Yes.
It sounds like so much fun hearing you say it.
Yeah.
And I gotta give a shout out and kudos to her humanities teacher, because the Design Your Dream project.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that so cool? Year long. So over the course of that year.
Yeah. That's something I wish I had when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So kudos.
Yes. Agreed.
I think that joint is popping.
Number three.
Yes.
Philadelphia. Not one of the neighborhoods on the list.
Correct.
Philadelphia hosts Pennsylvania's largest 4th of July parade every year. This neighborhood hosts the state's second largest one.
Wow, so fireworks to cannons to Canonsburg.
Technically, you are correct, yes. Technically.
I'm on a technicality.
Yes, it is. The second, we're just behind Philly.
Yeah.
So this coming year, Well, this year, yes, 2024.
Current year, not the coming year.
I don't even know.
Sure.
Will be the 61st annual 4th of July parade for Canonsburg.
Wow.
And apparently it is such a big deal that residents start setting up folding chairs along Main Street, you know, to stake their claim to the prime viewing areas. They start setting them up weeks before the parade.
What?
Weeks.
Weeks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do they sit in the
chairs? I was just going to say, I don't know if they sit in them. Do you have to rotate?
Out? Yeah.
Is it like you get a whole bunch of people and you're like, all right, you take Thursday, I'll take Friday. Yeah. We're going to do it for 14 days. We're going to rotate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
I do feel like I should look into it more.
I agree.
Because is it like the Pittsburgh parking chair, which those of you who aren't familiar, this is a very Pittsburgh thing. If you live in a neighborhood where you have to park on the street, right? It's on street parking,
and
no driveways, no garages.
At that point.
Right? Yeah. That it's understood that you can put any kind of chair, a folding chair, and I mean, any chair you want, just in the street, in a parking space, and everyone who drives by understands it has been saved for someone, and no one touches it, and no one tries to park there. It's an understanding that we have.
Respect
so I'm wondering,
chair.
Respect the chair. So I'm wondering if that's a similar thing with the parade.
I think it could be.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And Don, just like that, you're 3 for 3.
3 for 3?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Have you been listening?
Oh, wait, yes. I should have been paying attention.
Yeah, you were surprised.
There were 3 statements of fact.
Oh, boy.
I go into my name that neighborhood mode, and then I just, every statement of fact is its own statement of fact.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I wonder if the closing your eyes also, like, you really go into another zone.
It does, it's like a trance.
Or a trance.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the zone.
Okay.
Hey.
Yes?
I wanted to say something, if I may. On your podcast. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Don't look so scared. No, so listeners, we often talk about our pets here on the podcast. And I wanted to say something about our dear freckled cat, who unfortunately and sadly is no longer with us. So that has happened within the last couple of weeks, and we're adjusting. But I wanted to give a statement of gratitude to this lovely little cat that was in our lives. I want to say thank you for the headbutts, for the sofa snuggles, for the unrequested early morning wake-up calls and treadmilling on our mirror, and most importantly, thank you, little girl, for being our cat for 14 wonderful years, and you will be missed forever.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Don.
Of course.
Maybe you dedicate your perfect score to Freckles.
Oh, I think I shall.
There you go. We'll be bringing this episode 117, to a close. I am your host, Tressa Glover. Huge thank you to Stephanie and Tara and everybody there at Yasuu for all of the work that you're doing. Stephanie and Tara, thank you for the incredible conversation. Listeners, please be sure to check out our show notes for all of the info there about all the work they're doing. And also, there are events that are coming up. Make sure you check them out. And if you're thinking about it, go ahead and email us here with your story. yinsaregood@gmail.com is how you do that. Thank you for spending this time with us today, whatever day today is for you. And until next time, my friends, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thanks to Liz Fetchin, Don DiGiulio, and as always, for our fabulous artwork, Mike Rubino.